Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. This week's show is going to be a little interesting because I woke up about an hour ago, and it takes almost an hour to get here, so I'm still asleep a little bit. As usual, my partner in crime is here with me, Marty Haynes.
How you doing, everybody?
And we have two special co-hosts with me, with us today, because I didn't think I was going to make it, from SJGR, Mandy McCaw and Kim Petrak. And our special guest, finally, for the first time ever, although we've attempted this two or three times.
Three times?
Yep, here we go. Frank Lazzaro from NJ Rope, which stands for?
New Jersey Researchers of Paranormal Evidence.
You had to think about that, didn't you?
For a second, yeah. It was with stage shock. You know?
All right, so because we've done this practice run, we've almost talked each time you've been here. Mm. I figured we might as well start with the easy stuff. So what is a ghost?
What is a ghost?
Yeah. Because I hate that question people ask. So it's the question that's almost like, that's the dead air right there.
Yeah.
Well, what's the scariest thing that ever happened to you?
That a serious question?
First, tell us a little bit about how you got into the paranormal.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a house where with a mother who was very sensitive to the paranormal world. Many stories going back to when I was a little boy, I can remember. That obviously piqued the interest. And actually, to tell you the truth, I grew up, I was quite nervous about it, scared about it. Didn't really want to acknowledge it. Would tend to leave the room if conversations about it opened up. Didn't want to be a part of it. As the years went on, the activity continued. And obviously, I'd run into other circumstances where you hear people talking about stories And what really got me going on it was I actually was out in Cleveland visiting with my father-in-law, who consequently, when he moved out there, to make a long story short, he moved out there to spend the rest of his life with a woman, and several, a few months after they moved out there, she passed away. There wasn't any acknowledgement of activity, but he always had a hard time with it. And, when we went out there and everything was more or less still like it was when she was alive. So one night, my wife and I were, he told us to stay in his room for the evening, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and the air conditioning was off, it was like around this time of year, it was hotter than heck out there, and the room itself was cold, for no reason. And I looked over to my left, and I saw, clear as day, the spirit of his, his deceased woman friend. At that point in time, I just said, there has to be more to it, and the idea sort of brewing. I didn't have any luck, actually. I thought about giving you guys a call. At one point in time, I looked on the web page and so forth and so on, and of course, I chickened out. Old memories came back, but as time went on, I got involved with a group called Double Visions. Over time, that group, the leader of the group, actually is my psychic coordinator, Nancy. She disbanded the group for her personal reasons, and I had started up NJ Rope at that time with the desire to learn more on my own, different avenue.
Right.
So here we are. And it was birthed up about 3 years ago. And that's pretty much where we are, is where we stand as we sit here.
You, out of all the people that came in, I guess, when the story's been open almost, 2 years now?
2 years. Yeah.
2 years in Mount Holly. Out of all the people that came in the very beginning, I think it was probably you and Eric really stood out.
Yeah.
And it's like you guys probably now are the two that have gone the furthest, too.
What was nice was they asked the right questions.
They
didn't come in telling us that they were going to be ghost hunters and they were going to get TV shows and all that fun stuff. They came in asking the right questions and wanting to do it the proper way without hurting the client, which was nice to hear.
Yeah, I think it's probably if I count the total amount of time of people I talked to, I probably talked to you and Eric probably more than anybody else that came in the store, because you were asking the right questions, and that's rare nowadays. It's getting better.
It is.
But I think it's because of groups like you that when you get newer groups that are coming out that are starting off with the right motives and in the right frame of mind, that becomes, contagious.
Well, I hope that's the case.
They see it too.
I think that's true. I agree. And I've talked to since I've been involved with several different groups, and I admit at least a lot of them don't do the things the way we do them. We're a little different in our style, but for the most part, though, we take it seriously. We respect the client. We respect the entities that we're trying to make contact with, and I think that's key. A lot of groups don't do that. I shouldn't say that. That's an improper. Right? That's not correct to say it. But
I'll say it. A lot of groups don't do that.
I don't know that for sure. But point is you know, we as a group we do emphasize that treat them like they're people. I mean, they might not. You know, there's many reasons they could be there. So one of which might be they might not even realize that they're there. You know, I would want to be treated nicely in my house. I wouldn't accept somebody coming into my house and pushing me around. So I emphasize with the group that, you know, ask for permission. Don't just walk in snapping the camera, you know. Ask for, you know, talk to the, you know, introduce yourself. You know, introduce what your motives are. You know, you're there to make contact with them at the request of a certain person. Explain to them what you're trying to accomplish. I think that's key, and that works. If you can get onto that good playing field right from the beginning, and they have an understanding of you, assuming that they're intelligent, you know, I think that opens up a doorway that you will get good results with less possible harm coming towards you or towards the client or towards, and that's what's about, you know, it's all about.
That's the important part, the client. We have to leave, you know.
Yeah, they're stuck with whatever we do. And we're responsible for that. We don't, unfortunately, you know, we haven't, and I knock on, there's no wood around here, we haven't had any instances where we've had any real regrets. You know, I know we're going to, you know, we're new. I mean, there's obviously going to be times we're going to have questions. We might even make mistakes, you know, hopefully not. But I'm conscious enough to realize, you know, just for instance, the other night we had an investigation. I don't want to get into too many of the private details of it, but, you know, like I said, you mentioned to me before going on air, you know, we use sensitives in our group. They're actually, to us, we utilize our sensitives like a K2 meter for the most part. I mean, they're to us, say, a person, but they're an investigator, but they bring with them a special gift that influences our ability to function as a group. You know, if one of our sixth sense people tells us that they're seeing a person in the corner, well, I expect the science people to be over in that corner somehow trying to make contact with whatever they see. You know, whether it's, you know, whether prior, you know, scientifically it gets proven or not, we know, you know, that doesn't, you don't know that right away, but we like to view them as being, you know, an essential part of the group team. So getting back to the story, that night, this has been a house we've investigated several times. For whatever reason, we have blessed it. We've tried to assist whatever was there to at least have an understanding that it could leave if it chose to. We've thought in the past success where things would calm down for several months, and then all of a sudden I get the phone call again. Well, there's something going on again. And we never could quite figure out where it was coming from or why it was there. So we went back, and there were several newer members there that I hadn't had much experience in. Because I was somewhat familiar with the area and the house, I felt it was a safe place to bring some of the newer people just because of, you know how it is. You walk into a private home, you don't know what you're walking into. So, you know, this one here, at least I had an idea, and I felt that I could protect them and they could protect themselves. That being said, we started investigating, and as the night went on, the conditions in the house started to deteriorate, and our sensitives started to get, you know, started to become sick in their stomach. They were going outside getting air. So what I did is I just pulled the sensitives out. I said, "You guys are out. We're going to clean up and get out of here. We've done enough damage." And in the end, what we ended up doing was just blessing the house, hopefully to calm it down. We didn't want to leave it like that. I mean, we didn't start anything up. I mean, we didn't go in there and, like, you know, we don't provoke. So it wasn't like we were in there cursing anybody out or anything. But it was you know, you can see that they were becoming a little agitated with our presence, and they were finding that weak link, and they were making their approach. So, getting to, you know, just the story, what it comes down to is we next day we followed up with this particular client, and she said everything was fine. I mean, there was no problems with her or her children or so forth and so on, which was important to me.
Right.
You know,
But on TV, they try to get to that spot where they're agitated, and that's when they put all the recorders on
certain
and all the
shows.
Fancy equipment that they get for free to test
shows.
On TV.
Yeah, certain shows do that. There are, you know, I think,
I mean, that's not the right way to do it.
No, I don't think it is.
Because I know I personally, I learned all my newest techniques right off of TV.
Right off TV.
I thought that was the way to,
you know, it's funny because, you know, I think a lot of investigators start out by watching those shows. You know, you think that that's the answer to all questions. And then once you start doing it for yourself in the real world, you realize it's not as Hollywood is one thing, and then there's real life.
Well, by the way, Michelle, I tore the roof off the house today because I was watching this old house. I thought I could put it on better than this guy's did. I mean, it was 35 minutes of quality Bob Vila, so we'll find out when it rains how good I did.
You know, but I've heard that some of those people on the show say that the reason why they provoke and act like that is because they say they get better evidence that way. So what would you say to that?
Would I say to that? I think they're, you know, can I say a certain A word here? No, you know what I'm trying to get at. I think that, there's many places. For instance, the Red Mill. A place like this has been investigated, I don't know how many times, countless times. Different groups have been there, and stories tell you that certain areas, mild provocation, it works to your advantage. Based on, for instance, there's a schoolhouse there. They say if you go in there, that the teacher gets upset with you if you act out of line. I mean, not in a dangerous, provocative way, but, like the bad student. So, does it work? I personally like the group to do that.
The key word there is they're just looking for evidence. Mm-hmm. So in a situation like that where you're just looking for evidence, and it's a smart building or something like that,
right.
Yeah, it works. But if you're going into a client's house, you can't.
You don't want to do that, no.
Do that and just come out of there with evidence. You're going in there to help that client be comfortable where they are. So,
But I even still contend, though, even with the mild provocation, you have to be careful.
You have to be careful,
absolutely.
Yes.
No matter what your ultimate goal is.
You never know where you're going to run into.
Exactly.
That's the key. When we're talking to things that most of us, even the people who are sensitive, might not be seeing at the time. You don't know in what context they're taking it and who exactly they are.
Yeah. Right. Well, I explain to people when they come in here and start, I want to get a K2, I want to get this, I want to get that. And I'll say to them, you really want to talk to the spirits like you want to be talked to, because if somebody walked up in the street and started cursing you out or getting abrupt mm-hmm. with you, would you walk away or punch them? Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to happen to you, But if you walk up and say, hi, how are you? Weather's nice, my name is. They're going to respond.
They're going to respond to you in
the same way. Right?
You would hope. I mean, some of them might not.
Well, some people
might malevolent
walk away,
spirits,
but even if they just walk away, mm-hmm. that's fine, That's okay. They have that free will to do so. Right. But that's what you want. You don't want them.
I mean, I know from my own experiences, I'm not one to provoke. I've been in certain places where I've investigated, and I've actually been told to get out. I've heard things, I've actually heard recordings saying, push Frank. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, here I am being respectful, and you had something that, they didn't want you there. Simple as that.
You have no idea what you did.
I had no idea, exactly.
See, I like to play the devil's advocate with EVPs. Because you might have been just ready to get hit by somebody, mm-hmm. and they were saying, push Frank out of the way. Maybe they're trying to protect you.
This is true. I mean,
because you're only getting that snippet, when you get EVPs with your own name in it, it's the same thing as like recording stuff at your own house. You start putting
which is something I won't do.
Right? It's hard to rationalize the stuff that we would tell other people away, because you're going to take it personally. I know if I get anything like Dave, get out, I would think the same thing. They want me out. Not right. Dave, get out the cards.
Or get out the way.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way,
Which is a very valid argument. Which is a very valid argument, no less. But, it happens often enough that I'm starting to think there's a little bit of a, might be something different than that, Dave.
Maybe you're just standing in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's it. But, and the thing about that house we went to the other night, not to beat on that, but so there was not a lot of newer members there, and one thing that we as a group do emphasize a lot is training. We do monthly training. We have our bi-monthly meetings. We're constantly.
Are you telling me that you train the members before they go to an investigation?
Yes, we do.
That is nuts. That is crazy. I've never heard such a thing.
Yes, we do.
So you're like one of the handful of groups, I guess, really. I mean, we do that too, obviously.
Yeah.
But most groups, their training is, come on out, we got a case tonight.
Into the fire.
That's definitely not the way to handle it. I believe that, we aren't that busy. We don't have boatloads of cases. So obviously my training time frame might be lower, shorter than yours. But I do make an effort to put members out there where they become familiar with the equipment. There's certain investigations, again, getting back to the Red Mill, where we'll go there. You know the place is haunted. There's no question. So we use it as a training ground. go out there. I mean, every 20 minutes, I want people switching equipment. I want, you know, I don't want you grabbing that, you know, the K2 meter because you're comfortable with it. I want you to be comfortable with the Vivitar. I want you to be comfortable with the different, you know, digital cameras, the full spectrum, so forth and so on. So
this is getting crazier and crazier. Now you're saying that you want all the investigators to learn
all the equipment
and be comfortable with it.
And actually, yes, we do. And we, you know, we have
this is groundbreaking.
This groundbreaking. It is. It's. But you know, we pride ourselves in that. I mean, really, it's something you need to take seriously, and you never know when you're going to have to use something that you're not comfortable with. And I think you need to know that. So, and again, getting back to this house here that we, you know, I almost said where it was at. I can't do that. But getting back to this private investigation we had done, we were actually because I had been there before, and I sort of did use it as. Not a full-blown training evolution, but I took advantage of the opportunity to let members who wouldn't necessarily get a private investigation under their belt, you know, sort of, you know, become familiar with how to set up the DVR, so forth and so on. And what we did is halfway through, we actually broke down for a little bit. We sat down, we talked about it. We had an open discussion back and forth. You know, any questions, any concerns? I talked to the group leaders. What are you guys doing here? It was actually a couple of new group leaders. That's something we're trying out. It's always been when you start out a group, you know, you're the guy in charge, and you know, little by little, I'm realizing that I have to share that.
No, you're the director of the group. You are supposed to have an iron fist.
Absolutely, right.
What you say goes, even if it doesn't even make sense to you. That's how it's supposed to be.
Is that what it is? And I'm all wrong. You guys are in the wrong guy.
You know,
you're in the wrong.
This is what all your ex-members will say about you, anyway.
No, I'm sure they will. So. And there have been a few of those, regretfully. You know, obviously, people who don't work out, I don't, you know, I don't hold any punches when it comes to that. So, but no, we broke things down and we talked about it for a while. And actually that evening, I watched them for the first hour or so and I let them roam around and do their thing. And when we sat down and talked about it, I said, well, okay, now just some possibilities for here, you know, for you to think about a little bit of. You know, how about trying to sit down in the room instead of walking around and, you know, how about not cornering them in a corner, gathering around and, you know give them space. I mean, how about you know, talking and introducing yourself a little bit more than you have, or asking for permission to use that camera, so forth and so on. And I think now going through the analysis, it's a shame because, like I said, by the end of the night, the entities in the house were the spirits in the house were becoming more agitated and didn't want us there. And I'd hope that the next time we went out, we would get better results. Nobody was nasty. I mean, I wouldn't allow that, but because of tactics. We possibly could have gotten better results if they had just done it a little differently from the get-go. You
know, but so you're learning from, and they're learning from, yeah, sometimes you've got to learn from doing it the wrong way.
Right, and that's what I was actually hoping would work out that way, that they would see the difference between the beginning and the end of the investigation. But like I said, unfortunately, it got to the point where once my sensitive started feeling sick, and there were sick, upset stomachs outside, practically vomiting, you know, I was like, nah, investigation's over. We're not going to bring anything home with us, first of all, and we're not going to make any damage for these people that were leaving behind. So, and so there's no point. We know what's here. There's no question that this place has activity in it. So why are we killing ourselves and putting ourselves in jeopardy? There's no reason for it. So what could have been a 4-hour investigation ended up being a 2-hour, you know, a 2.5-hour investigation just because of safety. And I thought that was priority over catching
that.
That's
2 hours you could have been investigating.
Absolutely. We could have gone to the graveyard or something and, you know, continued on, right?
There's other groups out there that would kill for 2 hours investigating.
Could have got better evidence.
And they could have yelled more.
And then the family could have called you in the morning going, you know, like,
what the hell did you do? And then you just let the answer machine pick it up. And then you change your number. And then you're good.
Well, there are some people that you want that to happen with anyway, I'm sure. You get a couple of people that you're like, oh, man, how did I get hooked up with this person? But you stick with them. You have to. They obviously have called you or contacted you or been referred to you for a reason, and you need to take it seriously.
And like you know, it took them a lot to get to that point. I mean,
right.
From personal experience.
Right.
It took them a lot to get to that point.
In order to get to the point where you actually want to acknowledge that there is even a problem. I mean, most of the time they call you up, and as you know, you're going to think I'm crazy or I don't know how to even say this to you. And I just listen to them. My objective is to sit there and let them speak, and I don't give them any opinions. I let them tell me their story, and afterwards we'll discuss a little bit and we'll go over some options and try to meet with them whatever we can do. Another circumstance, I don't even think an investigation is always necessary.
No.
Be honest with you.
Get it out of here. What the hell do we even have him on here for? All this crazy talk.
I don't know, but you mean you've been taking notes.
No, we've actually done some cases where we've gone right to a blessing or just sometimes giving people advice or even having them talking to one of our sensitives is enough.
But then you didn't get any good EVPs that you could put on your webpage.
Then that's why. And look at my webpage, how many EVPs I have on there. We're not about that. I have a few just to say we actually do get them.
Right.
The one who does the most cases and gets the most evidence wins.
No, yeah, is that how it works?
That works.
So then we're going to lose. And we do capture quite a bit of evidence. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. We haven't been disappointed with our cases. But
I don't know how you do it because you don't provoke.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's crazy talk, yeah.
I hope everyone can hear the sarcasm in the comments.
I'm pretty sure if they listen to any of the other shows that they catch it.
Yeah, it's amazing with the... we don't have a short, a shortfall of EVPs at all. And,
photos.
We never provoked.
No.
I mean, I remember the last person who provoked, and it was that I was aware of, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Because there's always people here and there when you get new people, you got to rein them in. But one person that provoked, that was almost like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, we've cut it off every time because, maybe you get an EVP a little faster. But maybe you get an EVP saying F you. Instead of hello.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you don't get any follow-up BBPs. Yeah, it's that whole thing, you get more flies with sugar kind of stuff, Yeah. Even the ones that are pissed at you, they're still going to, if you're not provoking them, they still might talk a little longer, tell you to get out a few more times.
Now, we've actually gotten responses before where, we'll ask, are you becoming angry at us? And... we actually had a response that came back and said, very angry. And we didn't, obviously don't know it. And that's one of the sad things about the field is that you just don't know it at the time.
Right.
I mean, it's a shame that you have to go home and go through 25, 30 hours worth of recording time in order to find out that they spoke to you like that. But at least if you can't afford the equipment like I can. But I think that the field is growing. I think that there will be breakthroughs and those kind of things that will help us as investigators to do what we need to do.
Well, the new RT-EVP, there's a new model that's just out now. That was the real-time thing where you could you hear your recording right back.
Right.
Now it has a program or something set into the software that it marks, high points or areas it marks as anomalies and marks it on the screen and timestamps it. So you can set it to a certain sensitivity level. So if you set it for like around where your voice is, it will skip your voice. But in your silence, if there's anything it hears, it will flag it, so you can go right back.
That helps out.
So not only instead of having to listen to it, you can just go right back and play exactly where it thinks the anomaly is. So it cuts the time. It already cut it down to seconds. Now it's cutting it down, in half again.
Right.
So it's a pricier piece of equipment, but I think the more the technology gets out there. As it, with everything,
it will develop. It will develop.
And I think, other people will come up with similar things too.
There's a lot more people getting involved with the field as well. I mean, I myself being one of them. I mean, 3 years ago, you would be having this conversation with me. As more and more people get involved with it, the technology, it will adjust. It has to.
Everybody tinkering with stuff and learning how stuff works. I mean, I just got... Randy from Phantom Lights is going into the infrared and full spectrum camera design, and he actually has come up with a camcorder that it's just like the static cams. It senses whether it's day or night, and it's full color camera in daylight and in light, and it converts itself without flipping a switch to night infrared automatically. So I was looking at it, the specs at it. He sent me the specs to see. I'm interested to see what that's going to cost, but that
more
seems to be.
More people get into using them.
Full spectrum is the hot thing.
It
works. I mean, you saw the pictures on our website were captured in full spectrum, and that's some of them in infrared as well. But it works.
It's before when you had. I mean, the only way you did infrared even was with infrared film, and to be honest with you, there's no place around that I'm aware of. except for sending away, that would develop it now. It's you'd have to mail order the film, and it has to be kept at certain temperatures. There's so many criteria you have to do to have to use it. And you have to have a certain camera, you have to have filters, all this other kind of stuff. So, I mean, when they did it, when they converted to digital cameras, I mean, this allowed everybody access now. I mean, we had the stationary cameras, which was great, but, you know, the odds of you pointing the camera in the right direction at the right time were pretty slim.
Right.
Now you're mobile. It's going to move with you. So, I mean, that's why you're seeing more and more apparitions. You know,
and it's still slim, though, too. I mean, you know, there aren't... Every picture you take, I mean, we take thousands of pictures during an investigation. I mean, I've as many as 1,300, 1,400 pictures during an investigation. You're lucky if you get one positive, you know, we don't do many orbs. I don't follow the orb thing. So to actually get, you know, maybe that mist or that apparition or that, you know, or whatever, it's extremely rare.
When I first joined the group, that was 6 years ago, they had a couple apparition photos that they worked years at getting.
Right.
And in the last, 4 or 5 months, we've gotten twice as many as he's gotten in his 20 years.
Mandy got a series, right? From right. That was a private house, right?
Yeah, it was a private house.
Bill, the week before, at the Burlington Library, the same place I got mine, like 6 months before. Maureen at a private house.
A month ago at the business.
Right, that Sean got. So we're talking like that. Absolutely, in 5 months, there was... You know, 5 or 6 different people that got them.
I mean, one investigation, we have the ones we posted online. I mean, that's, you know, a couple of
years. So, I mean, going back to how it used to be, I remember, you know, going reluctantly to drop my film off, my 10 rolls of film, and paying for it, knowing that I was going to open and see nothing every time. You know, you walk slower and slower to the counter to pay for it, because you know there's nothing in there. You know, because the odds are really stacked against it.
Sure.
So now, believe me, it seems like you're taking a lot of pictures for a mist or something else here. That's great compared to how it used to be. I mean, it was like slim pickings before. It was really like...
That's the nice thing about the digital age, though, too. I mean, you don't have to go to that store anymore.
That's true, too. So, I mean, that's why I take like 1,000 or 2,000 pictures, too, because it's not costing me anything.
Sure. Yeah. Snap, snap, snap. So the battery die there. You know, that's how it works. So that's what we do.
So what are... What other kind of new technology are you using? You're using the digital cameras on full spectrum.
That's our newest, the full spectrum. Yeah.
Using regular digital recorders.
Right. You know, Kmart brand, you know, nothing special there.
Right.
Yeah.
EMF meters, you got any?
We have the K2, the MEL.
Stop. They're adding features to it, but that's still like the top of the line, I think.
Hey, I love it. It's great.
It's the most expensive. It's a lot more expensive, but to me, that's the bang for your buck.
It's, you know, you're getting everything with it. You're getting the temperature. You're getting the EMF.
Hey, there's more things I can do in one hand.
Sure.
Yeah.
Happier I am.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's investigators need to go in front
of
them.
Hanging all off of you, and I couldn't get it all to work at once.
That's why I like the digital, the full spectrum. I got me the 303 pictures. You don't have to worry about relining up and snap, snap, snap.
And
you got audio, you got video, you've got, you know, photographic. Yeah, everything's right there.
Yeah.
You practically have a whole investigation right in your hand if you use it right. So
put a millimeter in another hand.
You're
good
to go. That's it. Yeah.
It's got the flashlight built in.
What else? You have a EMF, you're good.
We're gonna train my little puppy Beans. We're gonna get him a little vest with Velcro on it and put the millimeter on top of him and maybe a little camera.
You wouldn't be the first person to do that.
You know what? Beans cam. Because
he can give it all a little space.
Right. I mean, those little cubby holes you can't crawl into. And he's 5 pounds. I mean, we can put him pretty much everywhere. He can walk across the tops of the drop ceilings and stuff and not fall through.
Do the duck work?
Yeah. Right.
There we go. I think he just run towards it. He would be like one of those nuts. Because I think he's already sensitive. He's already growling at stuff. It's when you feel stuff in our house. You know, Nacho just is oblivious, but he does this crazy little possessed growl and stuff. Stares in the corner and stuff. So
if my dogs start growling something I don't see, then I got problems.
That's a TV show right there. The ghost hunting chihuahua.
There you go.
I mean, come on.
That's got to be good stuff.
Who wouldn't watch a chihuahua hunting ghosts?
That's right.
So I think I'm just going to, I'm quitting the group. I'm going to go focus all my energy on just getting a TV show now.
With a little hat with
little red lights or infrared lights.
Just let them be in the house.
That's perfect. The chihuahua, whatever. Ghost thing chihuahuas. We need a little catch name for them.
There you go.
What was that, El Fantasmos?
Next in the store. This is our Chihuahua collection for anybody who wants to purchase one. Fully trained already.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Now it's developing on the show. Now I have my herd of Chihuahuas that are ghost hunting trained. I breed them.
Right.
And now they're trained ghost hunters, and I can sell them. That's a good idea.
Well, have a kennel back here behind
the door. Right. Well, now the equipment's separate. I'm not going to, like, you know. I got to keep the store going. So I got to have a separate annex for ghost
hunting. You could add that onto the price of the dog.
Ghost hunting gear.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to hire somebody to do the poo. I quit.
There's a
I draw a line.
We there are people who do that.
We have clients sign disclaimers, you know, releasing us from any fecal and urine damage to their homes during investigation.
Oh, no.
That's pretty rough.
Got to be careful. We've got to protect these people. So you got an event coming up too, right?
We do. And again, at the Red Mill. I've talked about it a couple of times tonight.
And where's the Red Mill at?
In Clinton, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, New Clinton. About an hour and a half from here, I guess. A little bit of a drive, but it's up in the mountains. Very very scenic area. Pretty. It's been around for a while. Yeah, since 1810 or so. Started out as a wool mill. Say that again, tongue twister. And it more or less evolved up into a talcum powder mill. They have a quarry there. Several different buildings. It's about a dozen buildings on location. Each one of them has activity in it.
It's kind of the beginning of Clinton, the town itself. It's grew from that, right?
Right, yes, exactly. It's right on the river. It's a great little location. That's more or less the activity there is actually, from a paranormal point of view, is high.
I've heard about it for years. I've never been out there.
Yeah. We got the river running through there that just pumps the energy out. Plus the area.
I mean, it's quarry rock of what's
it called? Of the ground is.
What's it called? I don't want to say calcium, but I don't think that's right. You told me what limestone.
Yeah.
Limestone. I couldn't think of where. You know, so you know, limestone has it's a whole quarry of limestone. Yeah. The energy
is an instant recorder right there.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing, and a lot of the equipment in the place is still. I mean, it still functions. The mill itself still turns. Mm-hmm. They don't use it anymore, obviously, but a lot of antique equipment hanging up. You know how that is, and it's just a really unique place in the sense of the history behind it, the atmosphere. And the paranormal opportunities that are there, it's great. So, what we're doing for the event, we thought it would be a nice place because, like most historical locations, they don't get funding from the state or so forth and so on. So, as a group, we do promote a lot of charity events where we will help out where we can, send personnel or just post it and help them out that way, whatever we can do. We've attended several of those events and. We investigate this place, thought, well, they're not getting any help, and they need a little work on this. Let's see if we can put together an event for them. It's had its moments, but, it's like anything you try organizing. It's, my first chance, my first shot at it, so I wasn't, 100%.
Well, to be honest with you, you can't tell it was your first shot at doing this.
I appreciate
You've
that.
Seen some other events, up late that really the planning just... Because there's got too many people trying to all plan things together. It's hard coordinating something like this to begin with.
I agree.
Group itself, it's hard to plan something, but some of these events just don't, don't.
They don't gel. We don't know if it's going to. We've promoted it pretty hard. I mean, they've had the press releases, so forth and so on. I mean, I've posted it in different places. I could post it. You guys have been generous enough to help me post it by here at the store. You're involved in it to whatever capacity you guys can give us as well. What it's going to be is it's just a night of investigating with us. Get the public out there, getting other investigators out there, give them a chance to experience the place for less than the asking price that they ask you.
Right.
Come in for come in and experience it. Get an idea whether you want to bring your group and throw them a couple more dollars. It's just a really cool location that I think has a lot of potential. Hopefully the event takes off like we're hoping it will, and maybe it'll be an annual thing.
You have someone coming out to do like a ghost hunting, like 101 or some equipment introduction, somebody highly qualified.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Who would that be? Who would that be?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
I think his name is Dave. I don't know. I actually, you're coming out for us, like I mentioned, coming out to do a little one-on-one for us. It's gonna hopefully.
I think I might go the humorous route too.
I can tell, but this conversation here, I know exactly where it's gonna go. I might want to reconsider and rewrite that a little bit.
Yeah, I might bring the chihuahuas. Who knows how this is gonna go.
Dave has graciously, he has agreed to come out and help us out. And I, as you know, I look up to you guys. I've made that point perfectly clear from day one. I don't claim to know everything, and I don't think any paranormal investigator should claim to know it. But if there is anybody who is knowledgeable on the subject, it is
Actually,
Dave.
Actually, Kim has said that she knows almost everything.
So
I've heard her say that.
Well, maybe she should help him. You might want to give him a little guidance.
No one knows everything, and that's something that's, I think more and more, again, it's something that's changing.
Well, the field's changing so much that you can't know everything.
It's amazing. I guess I don't think it's just because I'm meeting more people coming in here. I'm seeing over the past 2 years, the dynamic of the field is definitely changing.
Yeah.
And the people who are in it, their whole philosophies are changing. But because before, I mean, there were people that were put next to their name, expert, you know? Yeah. You know, and now there's people that I think if you were being filmed for something and they wanted to put, like, you're the expert, you know? Because when we did the National Geographic thing, and that was like 2 or 3 years ago, they wanted me as the paranormal expert. And I said, there is no such thing.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to have to find someone else then. And they said, they wound up just putting ghost hunter underneath. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, because that's
what we are.
Exactly. Right. But to put the expert thing is that's, you know,
it's asking for a bit much. You're being an expert about something that nobody really has a full understanding of. And how did you do that?
There's people who are more experienced. Right. That's different. But there's people with less experience that can teach the more experienced people stuff too.
Yeah.
You got to be open to learning from everybody.
Absolutely.
Because I've learned from people that, you know, just started to, you know, people that have been doing it for years. You got always got to be learning.
Yeah, I teach you all the time.
The second you stop, exactly. I learn a lot of lessons every day.
So, I mean, being a director of a group, a lot of people look at you as you should be the one who knows. And I make it perfectly known in the beginning that I'm not. You know, we're working through this together. We're learning together. You know, that's why we train.
Oh, they don't hear any of that.
Yes, they do. I have a great group of people. And I'm very, very grateful for that. You know, they're dedicated. It wasn't always that way.
See that?
It wasn't always that way.
I always say we have a great group of people, too. And so they leave.
That was the first time.
Then I'm the devil. Either I'm Hitler reincarnated or whatever. So it's, but you get used to it. Like, I mean, you've already had some disgruntled people leave. So.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't? You know,
it's never going to change. And no matter how.
It's just the nature.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, in the end, you're still responsible for what the group does, and that has to be established. And sometimes that unfortunately means that people can't be around anymore.
That's the buck stops with you,
right?
That's why I made the co-director, like I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Push it off on her. She's too busy over there. She's not listening. But yeah, that's what I do. It's like, hey, I do nothing. Jill, co-director.
It was all her fault.
Exactly. And then that's why we have three assistant directors. I mean,
you're
I've
covered.
Learned
you're
over
covered.
Years. Yeah. It's like, hey, look. Shit just travels downhill.
Ultimately, it does. Yes, but it's in the end. All joking aside, you are responsible for it, and it's. I mean, and as a group, you don't want your reputation to take a spill. But also, if someone's done something that's detrimental, then you have to address it. And I'm not the best at that. I admittedly, so I try to be nice. I mean, I consider my group to be family, and we have. Cookouts. We go to Christmas dinners. We try making it so that's a family oriented thing to promote that camaraderie, so that you have that protective shield around yourselves when you're out there. You can trust the guy you're with.
And you know the person next to you, and you know how they're supposed to act.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if there's an issue,
you know it. Right. So we really do emphasize
Pirate parties.
Pirate parties.
That develops friendship and camaraderie.
If that's what works for you, then go right on ahead. We seriously do. We make every effort to get the people together as often as possible on a non. After every investigation, for instance, we go out and we eat. I mean, that's the you get together. First of all, you need to regenerate yourself a little bit. But aside from that, I mean, it's just sitting down and not even talking about the case, just BS about whatever came down and whatever happened to you that day. I just find that's much more effective than having people you just don't want to be around or you don't know anything about. So we. we do work hard at that. I mean, and I'm quick to acknowledge people when they do something that I like or that I find is beneficial to maybe, you know, moving the group forward.
You don't take credit for it?
I do not, no. I'm upset by the webpage because there's more on there about me, my name on there, than I wish.
As
there was more involved.
As it should be. You're the director.
I don't think so. No, I'm only a
stalwart. Did you bring your black and white glossies today so you can sign some of this?
I'm only as strong as the people you're with. I mean, yeah, if you have people that don't trust you, then that's going to be a problem.
Agreed.
That's true.
Agreed.
So
very
that's
true.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You have to be that strong wheel that turns, you know, doesn't stop turning, but you also have to be the guy who understands and is willing to take a step back and say, no, you're right. Let's do it your way. And I offer that to people. We have our meetings. It isn't, you know, Frank Lazaro sit down and tell you what we did wrong. Yeah, there's a portion of the meeting that is that part. But then there's also the part where my officers, they'll have their moment. Then the members get their chance. And I don't care if they have something that I've done, tell me about it. Here's the open forum table. We're sitting around a table. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out now. Because if we don't get it out now, it's only going to affect the investigation later, and someone's going to get hurt. And that's not what it's about.
You know, while I'm thinking of this, we really should have just like, whether we do it as like a radio show or we do it as like a, some sort of like group, there's probably a lot of groups that would benefit from just the directors getting together and chatting. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think, I agree with everything you said so far to that.
That's
good,
Frank.
That's good. I wasn't sure I was going to go that way.
Just spite, I don't agree with people. But I mean, everything you're saying is exactly like what's in my head, or at least the way I hope that I put it out there.
Right.
You think that I'm on the same
It's important. I mean, you need to be that way. I mean, I think you have to be open-minded with to even do this to start with. And if you close yourself off and you become cocky and you're only going to hurt yourself. So you have to be willing to leave the door, you know, keep doors open. But at the same time, you have to be in charge. And I think that's understood. I don't like to walk around, you know, puffing my shoulders up and saying I'm the boss. I don't do that. I prefer not to. I have people that I trust. In fact, if a situation comes down to it, and up to this point in time, I've been involved in almost every case because there aren't a lot of them. But in a circumstance where I send an officer out to or Nancy out to investigate somewhere, I would hope that my personnel would not call me. I mean, she's in charge. Talk to her. If she needs me, she'll call me. You know, and that's where the line is drawn. There's no reason for me to be involved if I trust her.
Exactly.
And that's how I
feel.
We call
team leaders.
That's for a reason.
They're in charge when I'm not there. And
right.
They are basically me if I'm not there.
And they know what I expect. And obviously they have their way of doing things. I would never step on that. I mean, you don't have to do everything by the book that I say. But, you know, my style is my style, your style is your style. As long as in the end everybody walks away, nobody gets hurt, and the results are there, and you satisfy the needs of the case, then we're okay.
As long as you don't upset the clients it's all a matter of trust.
That's what it is.
Trust is the key.
And, you know, and again, getting back to the fact that we are a newer group, it wasn't always easy for me to do that in the beginning for personal reasons because, you know, in the beginning, nobody can do it as good as you until you realize, yeah, they can.
Yeah.
And they're very good at it, and the more experience they get, the better they become. And the more cases we get, the more experience they're going to get.
Right.
So
you focus on investigations, the more time you can put towards your own personal website,
right.
Getting
right.
on TV.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, I was put towards my family and things
and
like that are, you know,
yeah,
in my book.
Yeah,
the book.
Book, yeah.
Yeah. Get a radio show just like this one.
It's all, and then you have a store, next thing you know.
Yeah, exactly. You rule the world.
There was.
We won't even call it. We won't even call it like Ghost Hunters or anything like that. We'll just call it Dave Giuliano.
It has nothing to do with the paranormal.
So
it's just a stepping stone on the way in, you know.
No, I definitely think that's the way to do it. It's a matter of me trusting myself as well. That's important. I'm not always the best judge of myself, and I'm harder on myself than I need to be a lot of times. And sometimes it takes these other people that I'm talking about, my officers, and they say, hey, listen, take a step back, take a breather. We can do this. And little by little, I'm realizing that now, that is the case, and I'm thankful for that.
And how many years did it take you?
How many years? Well,
how many years and no heart attack? I was just going to say, you're doing it now.
Before that
years,
happens, yeah.
Because when you got to around the 12-year mark, you might as well just start seeing the cardiologist.
Right. I don't, you know, I have a family at home as well. I mean, I have children. I have a wife. I have responsibility. I have a job. We're normal people, and we live a normal life. And it's, you know, you can't let this dominate you, because it could very easily could. I mean, yes. The point where you could live this 100%, eat it, breathe it, sleep it, and you need to have that downtime. You need to have that, you know, that time where you can go out and hang out by the pool or
pirate
whatever.
Party.
Clear and down.
So pirate party. That's what it works. So that's just the way we run.
Hey, we do it. I mean, we do the same thing. The barbecues and the little.
It's important.
We have themed parties too. We might be a little more eccentric than other groups. But there's something, you know, liberating about dressing as
yes,
a pirate.
I saw the pictures, Dave.
There's just something liberating and builds that bond, you know.
What?
If you can't dress up as a pirate with somebody, and you can't be alone in the dark with them. Right. You got to get their back. I mean, you got to have all that.
Exactly.
That's my philosophy, anyway. Maybe that's not my next book.
There you go.
How you can put.
Here we go. He's back on himself again. But, anyway.
With the bread mill,
mm-hmm.
What date is that?
It's August 27th. It's at, starts at 3. Actually, the time has changed several times. But it starts at 3 o'clock and it runs until 12. And there will be a drawing for a private investigation hour after. So that, you know, instead of having groups of 10 or 15, we're going to take four people or four winners. And run them through on a little private investigation so they can get a feel for it without having all the a second chance at it to utilize what they might have learned early on.
And these people should be registering ahead of time so you can kind of know.
They can, right? They can register. I actually contact the mill directly at the website on my webpage. I might as well give you that so you know. www.njrope.com. There's actually a link to the event itself. And again, another link to tell you how you contact them to make arrangements for it.
What's the cost on this?
The cost for there's actually three different cost pricings. Four if you're a member of a group, which we haven't had too many groups come out and say you guys are the only ones. But so if any groups are out there listening, come on over. There's plenty of space available. But it's $25 for a table for a group for the day, and then I think they set it at $20.
Yeah,
$20 per person for anybody who wants to actually investigate with you that day. Not actually something you have to pay. It's just if you leave your table and you want to investigate, you pay the $20 to help out. Mm-hmm. Then you have a general admittance fee, which carries you from 3 until 7. And they changed it all. I just had a meeting with them the other day. I have to apologize to you. But it's a 3 until 7. They have a $15 general admittance fee. If you just want to support the cause, you want to come out, you want to see the mill, you want to get the history tour, you want to see a little evidence from past investigations, so forth and so on, listen to Dave talk, so you're cheap, $15. Yeah?
I know, I'm kind of insulted. Well, you didn't get my bill yet for my my riders and my travel.
Everything else, you can send that right to the mill.
I realize I can drive there, but I think I'll stay at a hotel anyway.
You're going to have the helicopter.
I'm going to fly. Fly out, fly back in. Yeah, just so you can pay my airline fees, too.
You can send that right to the mill. I'll give you their address.
I'm not just anybody.
That's right.
So I'm going to need
for. In fact, I'll give you a contact name. It'll be really easy for you. Don't worry about it. So that day, it's if you register online, and the registration online is up until the day before, it's $40.
Now, is there a limit on how many people you're going to let stay for the investigation at night?
For which part? The evening investigation? Well, we're trying to do, we're going to analyze, we're analyzed. Sorry about that. We're going to break the set groups out every half hour. So, are we expecting the house to be full? Honestly, I hope it is. But realistically speaking, it being the first time out with this, I think we'll have room. Hopefully it works out for our benefit. But so what we're going to do is probably break down groups of 20. Bring people around, guided tours, NJ Rove, Spirit of PA, and NJPR.
So you're going to have experienced groups at a very, very haunted location. You're going to, I believe Scared's going to be there too, right?
They are, yes.
You're going to have Scared there, and you're going to have Brian Kano from
Haunted Collector.
Yeah, Haunted Collector there. So you got the TV star covered. You have other well-known people.
We got Dave there.
You have
we might even have Bruce Tango.
Experience groups on there, another TV.
Maybe Bruce
person,
Tango.
So you got all that covered, and that's that cheap. there's no reason why people shouldn't come out, because they show up for some of these other things for $300-$400.
Exactly.
And they're not going to get any kind of training. They're not going to work closely with anybody that knows what they're doing. They're just there to see, you know, somebody, see a face, and that's it.
Right. Talk to a, you know, ask a couple questions and go home.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's, that's more like a convention. This is like a, like almost like a hands-on kind of little expo.
And that's the intention. They're actually calling it the Paranormal University. You know, so it's a...
There's a couple different buildings, so they're not...
Yeah, we're not. We're, well, the place has 12 buildings. Where initially, the initial thoughts were open it for the three main buildings. You know, there's the mill, the schoolhouse, and the that tenant house. Just because it gave enough space between. But if we get enough people, we'll open it up to, you know, additional buildings as well, and utilize that time and that space. You know, might as well. So, but I mean, the place will be. You know, you'll get a tour of it. I say you will have hands-on. We don't have, you know, we only have the equipment that the groups have. I mean, you're not talking about bounds and bounds worth of equipment, but at least you'll get, you know, an opportunity to maybe hold that K2 meter to see if you get any activity with it, or at least see how it functions with, you know, different electric fields in the area or so forth. So, you know, you might just be carrying a voice recorder, but at least you'll feel like you're involved, and that's the purpose, just to make you feel, you know, and remember, you know, the people that are actually working the investigation in, you know, the different groups. I know that my group, I mean, I. And if the other groups are, I hope they take, you know, at least take some of the same tactics. We're going to let the people investigate. I mean, we'll just be there to answer questions. They're paying to investigate the place. We're just going to make sure they do it right and they do it safely, and that they get the experience that they're looking for.
They get the opportunity to pick, you know, pick your brains and everything. I mean, it's not like, to me, again, I'm not necessarily picking on other events or anything, but some of the events you see, it's the same people time after time after time after time. You know, and that becomes like that's groupies going to that to see that person. That has maybe nothing to do with the paranormal aspect. This is people that you might not always get to see different places. You're going to get a whole different, you know, take on it, and hopefully they listen to what you've just said and kind of understand what kind of group you run. I know Mark Johnson with his group, you know.
Spirit of PA, Rebecca.
Right. So these are all good groups. They're all going to be...
And we all function similar.
Right.
I mean, that's... I've honestly never worked with Mark. I've met him. I've spoken with him. I've seen him at the mill. I would like the opportunity at some point in time to do an investigation with him. But, you know, from what I understand, that they do things, you know, from speaking with him,
years
similar.
Years, so. Many, many years ago, he worked on the Shadow Ants with me. He was one of the moderators on my message board, and he also, when SJGR had a North team, at the very end of that team, when they split off to form their own team, he had just come aboard.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I know he's got some experience. I mean, actually, I'm the baby of the bunch, really. I mean, she's got, I'd say, a good dozen years worth of experience, just herself. We're a very well-established group. I know that Mark has experience. He himself also hosts a show, as you know. So he's definitely knowledgeable on the subject. It's funny, irony of the whole thing is I'm probably the least knowledgeable, and admittedly so. But
knowledge is relevant.
We will make it work.
Sometimes knowledge isn't as good as like your ideas and your concept of how you run things. That balances out maybe the lack of experience compared to others.
Right.
Because some people have tons and tons of experience, but no common sense on how to run anything. Then you've got some people that, I mean, are fantastic investigators, been doing this, you know, 20, 30 years, but they couldn't run a group of two people.
Right.
You know, just because that's their personality or just they're focused in different directions. It takes a different kind of skill to be able to at least keep a group together.
Right. No, I know that now. You know,
you're setting, the captain. You're the captain.
Setting out 3 years ago, I didn't think it would be as much work as it is, honestly, but it's well worth it. I mean, the cases that we get, just when you can walk away from a case and feel really good about it, and know you did good for somebody and that they're going to be okay, that's satisfying. So,
well, I've never told you, I mean, when we were first talking, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, I don't remember telling you, don't do it. Don't be a director. Don't run a group.
I think you might have. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Advice, but you know, it's... the people that I persist and keep telling over the years, I say you really should stop. You stop now, because it's like you see people. Certain people have that. I guess it's it's an attitude. You have to be able to be everything to everyone.
Thick skin.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, thick back. Thick skin in the back, especially armored back.
I mean, think about your level of, if you want to say the word control, think about the level of control that you really have. You have a group of people that have come together with the same interest You know, some of them a little different. They have their own motivations. You know, granted, everybody has that. But here you are, you're trying to manage a group of people that are, in essence, volunteering their time. So it's not like they're getting a paycheck from you where you can dictate exactly what you want, how you want it. So, you know, it takes them. It's
you
just
don't pay your members?
Not at all. Sorry, guys.
So they don't get benefits either?
No benefits. No
company
benefits.
Cars.
It's a horrible thing. You know, I have one member who does like to bust them. He's one of my officers. He does like to make his point known. Do I get more pay with this? You know, that kind of thing.
I always double people's vacation time and pay.
I say, yeah, you get more responsibility too. It's great.
That's how I reward people. It's easy. Just like you're making double what you used to make.
That's right. Just that quick. Just that easy. So it's a lot of work. It is worth it in the end. Many headaches. And like I say, I was speaking with you earlier. You get cases that are sometimes just absolutely boggle you. You don't know what to do with them. You don't have all the answers. You're trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. And you're trying to help a person understand that when you're doing it, and it's just not that easy.
And there are no guidelines to say this is the way you do it. For this case, right. You do it this way. For this case, you do it this way.
Every case is different.
Everyone.
Everyone is different. Everyone has their own circumstances. And, you know, as you know, the paranormal world has a lot of, you know, obvious mysteries. Mm-hmm. And you, who am I to question whether or not they really have experienced those things? I mean, I'm not there to tell them they didn't. I'm there to try and I'm not going to deny it. I'm there to discredit it. I will try and find a natural reason for it. That's just as good to me as if I give them actually it's better for me.
I thought our goal was to debunk everything.
Is it?
And make the people think that they're crazy.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that if I like to give
lying to us.
Yeah, prove the lying to us, right.
Prove naturally.
And I don't know about that. I think it's, a lot of it can. I think there's a lot of things
that
can.
Stephen Colbert right there.
Yeah.
playing
the devil's advocate there. It's you know, it definitely is interesting to say the least. I mean, you do work, you work hard. You spend a lot of hours, and you know, in the end, it's all worth it. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Is if, like I said before, if they can go back to their bed and they can sleep in their bed and feel good about it, then I've done my job. And whether or not that's given them an answer, that's a scientific reason to explain what they've done, or whether or not I've given them the answer that they did have something going on in their house that they can either live with it, or we've taken the opportunity to try and do a blessing on it to, you know, lower that energy level in the house, to maybe assist whatever is there to decide to leave on it, you know, to leave and to push. Not to bother us, to give it a push. There's the door, you know. Maybe
amen,
you should use
brother.
It.
That's why we send cases to you. We forward stuff to you guys because you handle them the same way we would. And we're confident in that.
And I appreciate it. We do appreciate that. The opportunities are you know, like I said, they're rare for us. We're getting more calls. I don't know what we're doing differently, but you know, apparently something's happening. So, and I'm grateful. But then again, you don't want the other extreme to become too overworked as well, because that's the problem. So. And there's a balance.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We're
all
coming
right.
down to our last. I want to thank Frank for coming on
thank
today.
You.
Finally,
we
got him on the air. We're going to have to do it again because it's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
We could probably talk for another couple of hours.
I'm sure
thank
of it.
Mandy and Kim for coming, hanging out with us. I think we need more people at the table. It makes the conversation more interesting. And I think I'm just going to keep the Stephen Colbert thing going. The humor aspect.
It works, Dave. It really does.
Like yeah. I am a sarcastic SOB most of the time, so. Until next week, when I think we have Lori Hall.
Yes.
From Tri-County Paranormal, and she's a psychic medium and author, and we'll have her on. Finally, it's another one I've been trying to, person to get on, so. Tune in next week.
Have a good night.